left off the very top of Chavzayim and Alaf, new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, and maybe get Rabban Himenu. A person brings a get, and then they lose it. The get is not yet delivered to the woman. They lose the get, and then Matzo, and they find the get. The question becomes, can we assume that this is the same get? And should we have to be concerned that maybe an interim, or maybe the get gets switched with a different get? As we've already seen before, the possibility of same people with the same, different people with the same names. So do you have to be concerned that this is not the right get? And of course, if this was not the one that was written for this person, then the get is no good min haTorah. That's a lack of lishma. So is that a realistic concern or not? The Mishnah says depends. So monthly out the kosher. If you find the get right away, you drop the get, and 2 minutes later you find it, the odds that somebody else wrote a get at the same time and the same name and everything are highly unlikely. The law puzzle. But if time has elapsed, and Mishnah is going to elaborate upon how much time that is, if a significant amount of time has elapsed, then you never know. Maybe other people may have come by. And there's a chance that the get may be a different get. Matzah b'chafiso b'muskuma imatura kosher. What if the get was in a kli, was in a suitcase, was in a knapsack, was in something that you know exactly, you can recognize. Chafiso b'muskuma are different kinds of bags. So if you find a get in a way that it's obvious it's yours, or in makira, or you literally recognize the get. You must need to elaborate also. I don't all get basically with the same. So I'm going to say, yeah, I can identify this writing, this letter, whatever, this paper, but I know exactly this is it. So then caution. So this is, again, this is not an absolute halachic objective problem that just because the get was lost, that doesn't disqualify the get. It's just a practical concern. Was the get switched by mistake? So there's a way to ascertain that it wasn't. If the halach is comfortable enough, we can assume that it wasn't switched, then the get would be accepted. So if I raise the question, Ruminu, we have a contradiction. If a person finds a get on the street, or a shtar that is written to free an avodah, or a daitiki, a person wrote up a shtar which describes what's called a matna shchindro. We learned about this back in the first part, that the halacha is that when a person is very sick and they want to divide up their property, they don't have to make formal kinyanim to that effect. They can just say whatever they say is binding. The reason why Chazal accept that, even though in HaTorah, you have to make a real Kenyan in order to transfer property, you can't sell things just with words alone. But the Rabbanim, they lifted that requirement for a Shchibra because they're afraid they don't want to get too upset, and get so agitated, and he can't divide, divvy up his property, he's going to get even sicker. So therefore, the Rabbanim, they made a Takana, divvy Shchibra b'chisur b'chim b'surin davi. So if the Shchibra does what he wants to do, then documents are written up in order to prove what he did. So if you find one of these kinds of documents in the street, or matanos, or if you find the regular shtar matana in the street, or bishovim, where you find the receipt for some loan or ksuba that was paid back, hareza lo yachzir. So a person should not return these documents to who they think they belong to. So let's say, for example, a person finds a get, so they should have been such a tzad, and give it to the woman, it must be her get. So my father shtar shirach, and the research, a nice guy, and give it back to the yevid. No, you shouldn't do that. Hareza lo yachzir. How do you know they were ever delivered in the first place? How do you know maybe the husband wrote again and never decided to give it? Then he lost it. How do you know the person actually delivered the document to sell the field? So you think you're doing a nice guy, so you're going to enable somebody to get something that they're not really entitled to. How am I to know? But the inference of the Mishnah is clear that what if the Baal Dover involved says, give it. Let's say the husband says, give it. The taka does belong to the woman. Or the other one says, give it to the Evan. Or the nose of the Sabatana says, give it to the recipient. So then no sense, then you're allowed to give it. The whole reason why the Mishnah says to hold back and just don't give it, don't do anything with it, Shevel Tasa, is because we don't know whether it was actually delivered in the first place. But if the person himself says, deliver it, then it goes up to the person. The person should deliver it.
There's another option. They could give it to Besson.
Right. It could be right. The question is right. So if we wouldn't be concerned that it was never really given, that the right thing to do would give it to the recipient and finish. Because let's say, for example, the husband's not around anymore. So we don't know where he is. We don't know where the nose is. So if we wouldn't be concerned that the person didn't really go through with it, we would just give it to the woman, she would be divorced. So we always have in the back of our mind that concern that less was there, but it's amazing, but also the hands would be tied. So comes the Gemara and says that the implication of the mission is that if the Nose, the Baal, the Adam says to give it, you give it, but feel it's by Maruba. The mission of Mitzia doesn't put any limit, doesn't put any time limit on this. It doesn't say, well, if 6 months have elapsed, then you have to be concerned there was a different shot. No such statement. So how come in our Mishnah, we're concerned that if time passed, that maybe the shtar is a different shtar. Whereas in the Mishnah of Metzia, there's no such concern. So I'm a Rabbi Lukash. Rabbi says it depends. It's not a contradiction. It depends. There are a lot of traffic. There are a lot of people. Shiars literally a lot of caravans. So if you lose a get in the middle of Times Square, hundreds of thousands of people, so you have no idea. Maybe Reuben lost the get, and maybe another Reuben picked it up by mistake. Maybe there was confusion. A guy loses a get in a place where eight shiars for 2 years. The middle of Beit Meir, I don't know. The example I give, the guy's in the middle of nowhere. Hundreds of thousands of people passing through. So Reuben ben Yaakov wants to get to Sarah Bas Avram. The odds that there's another Reuben ben Yaakov, another Sarah Bas Avram in the same place is next to zero. So when you have a place, you ain't Sharon Mitzuyas, there's nothing to worry about. But the Gemara now qualifies this. But Philip Amakim says Sharon Mitzuyas. Even in a place where there are Sharon Mitzuyas, even in a place where there are a lot of caravans, a lot of people, who shall huchsechu shteyas ben shirubirachas. This is only true if we know for a fact that there are two people by that name in that city. So we know there's a very, very good city. There are a lot of, the government will tell you, go down his list and say, I'll tell you, there are a bunch of Yosef and Shimon's. He checks the Bishop Berach list. He says, oh, there are a lot of Rachel Bas Avrahams. And there are a lot of Yosef and Shimon's married to a lot of Rachel Bas Avrahams. So there's more than one person. Then there's a very, very outside chance that both of them divorced at the same time and the getting got mixed up. It's possible. But if we don't even know that there's another Yosef ben Shimon in town, for us to be chayshesh, there's the Yosef ben Shimon in town, that's already too much. So basically what the Gemara says is that when you find the get, the 99% chance, this is the right person. This is your get. It's your name, your wife's get, name on it. There's really nothing to worry about. But if you have two strikes against you, number one, it's a very, very public area. And number two, we know for a fact there are other people in that town with the same name. Then and only then is there any reason to concern. The Elo Temachi, because if you don't say the second condition, that we're not just stop concerned because there are a lot of people around, if you don't say that we're only concerned when there's another person standing there, so Kasha the Rabbah and the Rabbah. But otherwise, you're going to have a contradiction within what Rabbah said. But what did Rabbah say? The following story. When we read these, we think, what's going to happen? Is Chazal making this up? No, real nice Shrek Kachoya. The How Gita Dishkacha Medina the Rafuna. There was a get that somehow got lost and showed up in the court of Rav Huda. Rav Kosev Bey and said the following text in the get. B'shmirei Masa, Diyal Rachis Nahara. In the following city, Shmir was the name of the city that was on the river of Rachis. That's how we identify get it to this very day. Whenever a get is written, so you have to identify the name of the place and you have to identify the different water sources for that place. So if it's on the river, you identify as a river. It's on the ocean, you identify as the ocean. If it doesn't have neither river nor the ocean, that's what we call like May Maidonis. It just gets underground springs or something, so you have to identify that as well. That's one of the reasons why it's very, very tricky that we don't write Gittin just out of place. Let's say, for example, someone decides that divorce his wife in the city, so we don't just all of a sudden write it again. We have to first do what's called the Machzik Shein. We have to take a look and make sure we know how to. What exactly the precise name of the place is, how do you spell the place, especially when you have non-Jewish names of places, you have to make sure to spell it properly in Hebrew characters, you have to identify what the water sources are, so we have to, it takes time before you can just stop writing get in any place. So it took a while until they were machzik tinek, now that they do write them, unfortunately they do write get in tinek today, so it took a little while to figure out exactly, yeah, mosa tinek, Yoshev and Hara, Hackensack, I think. Remember the Hackensack River? Is that where we're okay? So I imagine that's what it says in the, remember years ago when they first started to write Gittin in Muncie, it was back in 50 years, so there was the whole tumult. They couldn't figure out exactly what the water sources are. Muncie, I thought it was not sitting on the tuition. They couldn't figure out exactly what the water source of Muncie was. So there's Lake Suzanne. There was a lake in the old Muncie. So they wrote a Lake Suzanne, and they had to figure out how to spell Muncie. So there was a whole Shaila, whether it was Muncie, whether it was Aleph, Muncie, because it was named after the Muncie Indians, but nobody pronounced it Muncie anymore. Now it's Muncie, it's Muncie. It gets very, very complicated. You have to make sure you have all the spellings in the right kind of place. If it comes out, if it ends up like a different name, you can have
a question, Muncie versus Muncie.
There's a big, big issue, believe it or not, not so much as again, in terms of Subas in the Adria. The Adria in Muncie, so it's not clear it's really in Muncie. It's actually really technically in Spring Valley. If you go down Route 59, so you'll notice but the sign for Muncie is slightly after the Adria. So it's actually technically Spring Valley. So there are some rabbinim who insist on writing Spring Valley, others will write Muncie, some will write both. Some will write the different Masada Kedusha write different things in the Ekin, depending on what you think. Anyway, it's interesting. It's the Ma'akev, it's only Ma'akev, it really changes it. The Mamish changes the. But like, yeah, sometimes you have issues with Ksubas all the time, the people in the marina. So some Masada Kedusha, they'll write them in the Throgs there. But there's no place in the world called Throgs there. It doesn't exist, Throgsnet. They put it on the. It's not even a municipality, Throgsnet. It's a bridge, Throgsnet. It's the Bronx. It's called Bays Ridge, Alpha Moon, Cook Summer.
It's on water. Bombs on water.
Right, but it's definitely in the Bronx. It's still in the municipality of the Bronx. You have to be careful when you write the. Troy, you have to be super, super careful. Like Super Souls, you want to try to make it as correct as possible. We shouldn't have any concern in terms of the shot. Anyway, back to the story. Yeah, don't think right. But the mice is the days of Chazal, they identified cities by word. It's out of here. I was still right. Get them. We always write on the word. So, in New York City, so they write on the. It depends where in New York. Well, they'll, so let's say in the right East River, depending on that. Yeah, I was in Brooklyn. They write Kefi Yama on the beach, on the ocean. So I think they write in Brooklyn, not mistaken. They write Nahar East River. We have Kefi Yama. It's the wash that they write in Brooklyn. Strange. It's interesting because in Brooklyn, they write Brooklyn in a gap, which is a very strange thing because Brooklyn's not a city. Brooklyn's a borough. It's New York City. So the reason why they write Brooklyn is because Gittim were already written in America in the 1800s when Brooklyn was its own city. So it was its own independent city. So the meaning that once a place is Muxa, they have a shame, they don't want to play around with it. They keep it. So everyone knows it's Brooklyn. You know, technically, it's not really, there's no city called Brooklyn, but they kept it up as Gittim, they kept it up as the Brooklyn. I don't know about the other boroughs, how they write it. Supers write Queens and Bronx. I don't know how they write Gittim in other places. But Brooklyn, I know for sure that they write it as Brooklyn. That's a throwback to the 1800s still. Anyway, so the Gemara in the story, there was a get that was found. They did it in Ravuna. So it had the text of where the place of the get was. So Amar Ravuna said, not so simple. Choshel is Neshviri. That there were apparently two different rivers, two different cities called Shviri. So Rav Huna was afraid that maybe this get comes from another, from a different city. You don't know. But only Rav Chisda the Rabbah. So Rav Chisda said to Rab at the time, "Took the Ian Ba, looked into the Shaila. Rav Huna was machpor the Shaila, but looked into it. The Orsa boy, let me know because he's going to ask you the Shaila tomorrow. Come back to the basic, correct issue tomorrow. We're going to try to analyze whether this was a correct concern or not." So nothing done for Ashkech. So Rabbi went out and he spent the night trying to learn and trying to figure out what a source of this topic would be. And he dug up a Mishnah in Maseches Bavitzi. And the Mishnah says, "Komais Beizdin Harezei Yachsir." Any document that has already been approved by the Beizdin, it's already been stamped, you know, for approval. So that those documents you can return because you can assume that those documents were in fact validated, they're legitimate, and they were actually ready to go. How they did it, Rav Huna, the Chamok Mishashars Mitzuyas Dami, Kaposhet Yachzir, that even though this get was found in a very, very public area, it was found in the area of Rav Huna's basin, a lot of people were traveling in and out of Rav Huna's basin, still Rabba permitted that get to be returned. We weren't worried that it was a different get, it fell from a different person. Alma, you see from here, that the only time that we're really worried about a switch with a different get is if two conditions are met. Number one, it's a public area. And number two, we know for a fact there are two Yosef and Shimon in the same town. So before we said that Rabbi was Mechadish this idea, I think it was proven that this is correct. That the only time that there's any concern is if you have two strikes against you. Omed Rabba Ugda Bahal Gita, Rabba once passed the Shiloh when there was a get that was actually found. It was found in the place of the Bay Kitney. It was a place where they were, you must have two different versions as to exactly what it was. It had something to do with flax. Kitna is, we say kitten, we think it sounds like cotton. It doesn't really show the cotton first, the flax, the linen. So there was a get that was found in a place where they were producing cotton in Pumbedisa. And Rabbah followed his view, Kishmaisi, he did what he did, he returned the get, even though it was found in this area. So there was two different versions of where precisely it was found. Equally, I mean, those who say, was in a place where they used to soak the linen. So it wasn't an absolute public area. The Avagav, the Huchsuku, even though there were multiple people with the same names in that town, because it wasn't so public, there weren't a lot of caravans around, and therefore it didn't meet one of those conditions to be concerned. Others have said, it was a place where they sold, it was the cotton, it was a linen market, so there were a lot more people around. Even though there were a lot of people around, but there wasn't Huchsuku, that there were two names, therefore it was Mutas. So the bottom line is, Rabbah sticks this position that the only time that you're not allowed to return it yet because there's a concern that it belongs to somebody else is that there's two things going against it. Number one, it's public area. And number two, we have a chazak. We know for a fact there are multiple people with that name. So we know for a fact that Rabbah did permit the returning of the get if one of those conditions were missing. We're just not sure what the story was. So one of the two conditions was missing. So now the Gemara tells us Rabbi Zeira had a similar discussion. Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Mastisa, Rabbi Isa, Mishari. Rabbi Zeira pointed out that there's an apparent contradiction between a Mishnah and a Rabbi Isa about this very topic. And Rabbi Zeira gave his version of what the answer is. Tanah, we learned it at Mishnah. And maybe get Rabbi the men who must be out the classroom left puzzle. Our Mishnah says that if you lose a get, you find it immediately, then you return it. If you find it much later, then you have to be concerned. Maybe it was switched with somebody else. We have a contradiction from a Braisa. So before we ask the question from a Mishnah, now we ask a question from a Braisa. Matzah Gerisha Bashuk, if you find a get of a woman in the middle of the street, in the middle of the marketplace, Bizman Shabal Moda Yachsel Isha. If the husband admits and says, yeah, I gave this get to my wife, yeah, go give it back, though it's ours. So then you do it. If the husband does not admit that he gave it, he says, no, I wrote it. It's true. It was ready, but it was never delivered. So we should not return this get to either one of the two parties. We shouldn't give it to the woman because there's a chance that she's not really divorced. The husband said, I never gave it to her. I don't want to divorce her. We shouldn't give it back to the husband either. Why is it a bad idea to give it back to the husband? Because in theory, if the husband really is not entitled to it, he could potentially use it as a proof that he paid off the ksuba. Because sometimes the husband pays the ksuba, so if the woman rips up the ksuba, that's wonderful. Well, what if whatever she doesn't rip up the ksuba, she gives him a receipt, that's also okay. But sometimes she'll give him back the get as a proof that he paid off the ksuba. So the last thing we want is that this guy should be walking around with a get that he's not really entitled to be holding on to, because lest he use that in a dishonest fashion at a later point in time. So therefore, if you find the get and you're just not sure who this get actually belongs to, just give it to the basin, put in the files, hold on to it with all the other lost and found in the basin.
That's a horrible way, because the get is so important to her to prove that she's not nacious.
But we don't know that she's not nacious. That's the problem, because the husband says they never gave it to her. So we have this yet in front of us, so what do we do? So we can't give it to her because maybe she's talking about divorce. We can't give it back to him because maybe he's going to finagle with the ksuba. So we have to hold on to it until we can figure out what's going on. So says the Gemara, Habizman at top of the days, Habizman Shimam. So if the husband says to give it to her, so the bride says, no qualms to give it to her. So Mias Yaks Alisha, then you give it back to the woman of Filiz Mamaruba. The bride didn't say that you only give it back to the woman if a short time has elapsed. The bride says there's nothing to worry about. So it's the same kind of contradiction. The same way we had a contradiction in Amud Aleph, that in one place we give it back to the wife, in another place we don't. So Rabbi Zeira pointed out the exact same contradiction. Mishani, and he gave the same answer. Kam bizman shesheres mitzuyos, kam bizmakom, I'm sorry, kam bizmakom shesheres mitzuyos, kam bizmakom shesheres mitzuyos. It depends. Are there a lot of caravans around or not? If a lot of people around, then you're concerned. If not a lot of people around, then you're not concerned. But within Rabbi Zeira's answer, the Gemara is not sure about the technical details. Even the Amid are those who say that Vehu Shehuchsuku Hu Delo Ledar, Hado Der Amid. One version that says that even when Rabbi Zeira said don't return it because there are a lot of people around, that means if it's Huchsuku, that means that we know for a fact that there are two Yosef and Shimon in the same town, and then Rabbi Zeira would be the exact same opinion as Rabbi. So according to the first version, Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi are identical, that both conditions have to be met before we refuse to return the get. Because the Amid, the other version of Rabbi Zeira that said, Rabbi Zera never required the condition of Uchsuku, even low Uchsuku, low leather, Uplinka de Rabba. And then Rabbi Zera would actually argue with Rabbi, he'd be more Machman and Rabbi, and say, if it's a public area, then you never ever return again. So the bottom line is, we're not sure what Rabbi Zera said. We know what Rabbi said. Rabbi insisted on both conditions, but not quite sure what Rabbi Zera said. And now the Gemara just asks a very, you know, textual question, is that we have two different versions of contradictions. Rabbi posed the contradiction between two Mishnayos, and Rabbi Zera pointed out a contradiction between a Mishnah and a Braisa. So the Gemara wants to know why one of them represented the contradiction in one manner, and the other. They all ended up in the same place, but just a textual question, why we would pose the question in one way or the other. So Bishlama de Rabbi Lamekub Zera, we understand why Rabbi asked the question the way he did, because he pointed out a contradiction between Mishnayos. Because Masnisa and Alim Lelechshir, if you have a choice between a contradiction between Mishnayos and a contradiction between a Mishnah and a Braisa, you're going to highlight the two Mishnayos. Mishnayos are on a higher level of authority than Braisa. Now, Braisas are very significant. They come from the days of the Tanoim. They're written by the same people as who wrote the Mishnayos. But when Rabbi Dan Nosi put the end of the Mishnayos, so he collected the more authoritative ones and considered them to be the Mishnayos. The Braisas are always a little bit second tier in terms of authority, in terms of how we're going to Paskin. So if you have a question of a contradiction between two Mishnayos versus the Mishnah Braisa, it's a no-brainer you can ask between the two Mishnayos. So that's why Rabbi did what he did. Masnisa libel lechshir el Rabbi Zera. By time of Rabbi, why did Rabbi Zera ask his question from the Mishnah to the Braisa rather than from two Mishnayos? So Amalach, because he said Miktani im Amatzunos the Mefilas Ban Meruba, because it doesn't say in the Mishnah that to give it even the Zman Meruba. The Mishnah is a little bit vaguer. Dilma im Amatzu Nosin Kidakam on the altar. Maybe what the Mishnah means is give it if no time has elapsed. The Brayis was much more explicit in contradicting the Mishnah. So we have a little bit of a choice now. If you want to pose a contradiction between two Mishnayos, but one of the Mishnayos is not 100% clear, that's what it said, or a Mishnah to Braisa, but the Braisa is clear as day what it meant, but it's still a Braisa. So that's why there was a nuance of difference. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference. At the end of the day, there was a stira, there was a contradiction, and there was an answer. There were multiple answers, and inshallah, inshallah. But comes the Gemara now, makes an about face, and says, no, we're going to give you an entirely different pshat of what's going on here. Why, on the one hand, some of the sources are telling us not to return things after time, and others are saying, yeah, it's okay. So what? Time has elapsed. No big deal. You can assume that everything is okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah gives a totally different answer. Nothing to do with about whether it's a public or private. Totally different idea. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, the Ka'amri Edim, we actually can track down the Edim, and the Edim will tell us, Me'olam lo chasamnu ela al get echad shel Yosef ben Shimon. They'll say, we have never ever signed another get with the name Yosef ben Shimon. So, this is obviously the right get. So we know the Edom are. The Edom themselves have come forward and saying, never ever in the last 20 years we've been signing get that never ever signed another get with those same people's names. So what could possibly go wrong? So said the Yochim and the name. We need a time to tell me that. Any time to get out, I can figure out. If we know for a fact that there was never another get signed, so why would anybody ever dream that this could be mixed up with a different get? So Mal the Tema, the Gemara says, it's crazy. There's a chashash, a very, very far-fetched concern. Maybe Lechosh Dilma Yisrami Shema Kishma the Edim Ke'edim. Maybe there's another set of Edim out there with the same names. You know how many names that have to be the same? You have to have the husband's name the same, the wife's name the same, both sets of Edim the same. You never know. So I would have thought, we can't take a chance. Kamash Blum was like, that is already way too far. That's such a concern, such a crazy concern. Ad Kedekach, that there were two sets of Edim with the same names and the same chassan and the same kazer. It's just crazy. Even we have to say the buck stops. You can't be so concerned. You aim it up yourself, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. Rav Ashi gave another answer when we're not worried about a mix-up of Gittin. Go to Ka'amar, when the chassan, when the shaliach, whatever, the chassan comes and the husband identifies, nekev yeshba b'tzad os klonis. He gives a sign, he gives a simon on the get that's clear as day. That simon didn't exist somewhere else. So he comes and he tells us, yeah, that's the get. I recognize that. You know, that's the get. Because it's written in aleph base. That's not a proof. No, I'm telling you, I recognize it. If you look carefully, on the bottom of the third line, there's a little hole in the parchment. Now, the odds that there's another get floating around with the same pole in the same place is not all that likely. And that's what's called the siman muvod. It's such a shtark, it's such a strong siman that proves beyond the shadow, that is an identifying feature beyond the shadow of a doubt, that that is in fact the correct get. So that's what Ashi's answer as to when we're able to return a get. In the davle siman muvod. But the Gemara says, if you want to return a get based on simanim, you have to be really, really sure that this is what we call in halacha siman muvod, a really perfect siman. V'davka b'tzad os plonis, only in a case where the person can identify it by the third line and under the aleph, there's a hole in the parchment. Davle siman muvod. Well, nekab alma. Let's say the guy says, there's a hole in the parchment somewhere. I don't remember where it is. A hole in the parchment. The truth is, a lot of parchment. A lot of parchments have holes in them. So the guy says, yeah, there's a hole in the parchment somewhere. And then we say, oh my golly, this get has a hole in the parchment. Not a siman. That's not what we call a siman muvot. That's what we call a siman beinoni. That's like a quasi siman, maybe siman. The Gemara says not so simple. That idea of simanim in halacha that I can identify something based on a siman muvot, that's not clear what the source of that halacha is. Where do we find such an idea that we can identify things based on simanim? That's a sugya d'ilmetzias, considering the lost object. Let's say I find something and somebody comes and says, yeah, let me give you a siman. The siman is, it's a blue shirt. It's a joke. That's not even a siman. That's nothing. But the guy says, no, I'm telling you, there's a little bit, you know, if you take a look at the bottom, a little rip at the bottom of the shirt or something. So if a person gives an absolute super duper siman move up, that the odds that there's another shirt exactly with that hole, that place, so unlikely, that's a siman move up, and that's a way of identifying something. But if he gives a siman beinoni, it's not bad, better than blue, but less than a hole in the bottom or something. He comes up with a quasi-identifying a mark. So in Elam Metzias, we return lost objects based on that. The guy can identify and say, yeah, that's my wallet. It's got that sign of that. He gives a siman beinoni. So the halacha is we return it to him. But that's a big question. The Gemara, is that a dim in that Torah? Is that a dim in the Rabbanah? The Gemara is a whole machlok. Is that a dash, a certain pasuk? Whether that's a dim in that Torah or not. If it's a dim in that Torah, the Gemara says, then we will return gittin based on that as well. We'll identify things even on a level of the raisa based on that. If it's not really a siman in HaTorah, it's just something that the Chacham made up for Dina Mominus, then hefkim is in hefkim, but we're not going to be returned gittin based on that idea. Whereas a similar sugya b'sechas yavamas identifying bodies, let's say, mom and son, you find the body, you're trying to figure out, is that the husband? You want to be matir, the woman to get married, so can we be matir, the woman to get married, based on a siman? So how solid does the siman have to be? Does it have to be a siman mufok she'ein kaboyu, that's impossible, there should be any mix-up? Or do we say that even a siman beinoni is good enough? This was never part of the discussion after 9/11. This was part of the discussion. They couldn't even find bodies. They find parts of bodies. So the only way they were able to identify was with DNA testing. So does the halacha view that as an absolute siman muvod? I mean, it is possible, very, very highly unlikely, that two people have the same DNA, unless you're identical twins. You are having two DNA, like one in billions, whatever the number is. So is that enough of a siman? That was the whole tilpul in the post game about how to what to do with that. The other kinds of simanim. So you find cards. This guy swiped his ID card. You know, that morning when he went to the building, you don't know, a 1,000,000% sure that it was his. But you know, it's an overwhelmingly good chance that it is. Those are all examples of the kinds of simanim that the rose to prove that this is in fact the person. So here the Gemara says that if you have a siman muvok in the get, we can return the get based on that. If you don't have a siman muvok, then we're not so quick to go run and return the get so fast. So that's Shabbat Thursday. We'll finish up a little bit. There's the details about the return of the Lord's get.